Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Living Astrology with Janet Hickox. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back, and let's chat about what is happening in the stars above today. Friday. It means that we are going into the weekend, and today will all be all about the Friday, Saturday, and Sunday weekend awareness for astrology, human design, and anything else we decide to talk about. And actually, there isn't much going on from the standpoint of human design this weekend, anything more than we've already talked about. So today we'll be primarily focused on the astrology of the weekend. And of course, we'll pepper in some other tidbits about human design as well. So I hope everybody is doing well this morning. I woke up just ready to go with my day. It was kind of interesting because the last couple of mornings I felt like I was just dragging, like I really did not want to get out of the cozy bed. But this morning at 5:56, something like that, I woke up. I see the clock and I'm like, oh, I'm going to get up. Funny, right? Some days are just easier than others to greet the world. So I'm going to check in real quick, say good morning to Debbie Tibbetts-Tumiel and Adrian Jones. Happy Friday to you as well, Amy Energy and Pauline, Courtney Menard, good morning, and J-Lo, Kathleen Mallory, and Asa, there you are, girlfriend. Good to see everybody popping in with us. Everybody, Asa has a birthday coming this weekend. It's actually her calendar birthday is on Sunday, but her astrological birthday is tomorrow. So wish her a happy birthday for me. And you guys all know the drill. If you are liking the video, please hit the thumbs up. And if you would like to subscribe, you can do that down below the video. You'll see the little subscribe button. Please do that. And that brings me to, maybe I should wait for a few more minutes before I bring this up to make sure everybody that is usually with us is with us. So I have a surprise for everybody, and that is related to our hitting the 500 subscriber mark. In fact, now we're at 537. So I'm 37 subscribers late, but it doesn't matter. It's going to be a great surprise for all of you. And I'll wait until everybody else has popped in here to tell you all about that. In the meantime, so I'm going to break this down today by day. And so we'll start with what's happening in the stars above today, and then we'll look at Saturday, and then we'll move into Sunday. Now, none of the days this weekend, including today, are particularly high or particularly low. What they are is sort of an energetic mishmashing of all kinds of energies, profound like movement, processing needs, right? The need to look at all of the stuff coming up to the surface, as well a couple of really good things that make this sort of a up and down sort of a weekend. There's nothing wrong with that either, right? It's not like there's this foot on the gas pedal going all tilt, you know, full tilt. And it's not like the foot is on the brake telling us not to go anywhere, but there are definitely some things you're going to want to watch out for. So let's launch into Friday, shall we? Today, the moon is in Cancer, finishing her transit through the sign. And that means today she's going to be hitting up some of the more tricky transits, let's say. Actually, I should have left tricky as a good word for tomorrow. Tomorrow's the tricky day. Today's semi-tricky, partly tricky, in that we have a couple of really good transits that are balancing out the ones that are a little more tricky, let's say, right? So all in all, with the moon in Cancer, remember, we're dealing with home and family, with our emotional field, with our feelings, our feeling nature. We're looking at cycles of time, perhaps things that are what I've noticed in my own life, which you might have noticed in yours, is this repeating pattern suddenly showing back up in your world. And likely that's a la Mars in retrograde and Mercury slowing down to go into retrograde. So issues that I thought were past coming up and not. It's interesting to me because as they come back up, I feel very objective, sort of neutral even, emotionally about it. Considering the moon is in Cancer, and that's usually a very emotional sign, I felt very neutral when this sort of popped back up in my field. So I think it's a testament to how we are growing and how some of the traumas and the dramas that we've experienced this year have sort of helped us to maintain a more even emotional response. So you might be feeling that as well, as things come up that you thought maybe were long past, or maybe they're new things coming up to you, but you have a better way of looking at that. The moon in Cancer helping us to be maybe a little bit less emotionally reactive and hopefully more emotionally responsive. So I hope you guys get that difference. If anybody's confused about that, let me know in the chat and Asa will make sure I hear that question from you. So today the moon is in a sextile to Uranus, which is in Taurus. So Taurus and Cancer. We have a trine to Mercury, which is in Scorpio, a fellow water sign to the moon in Cancer. We have a square to the sun in Libra, right? So those Aries and Libra are squaring one another. Cancer and Libra square one another. Actually, Aries and Libra are opposing one another. Capricorn and Cancer square Libra and Aries. So we have that square to the sun. We often call that the crisis of action in the moon's transiting through her different phases. We also have an opposition to Jupiter today that tends to make us want to go a little bit overboard, and a trine to Neptune, also in a water sign, Pisces. So that kind of shores up our human design sun at the gate 57, giving us relatively easy access to intuition. All we have to do is check in with ourselves. Let's break down these transits a little bit more. The sextile to Uranus. So let's just review what a sextile is. It is a 60 degree relationship between the planets. 60 degrees, it kind of confers an ease of the energy between the two. It's like two pals meeting up. Maybe they come from different walks of life. They may have different jobs and they may, you know, not get together very much, but when they do, they have things to chat about, right? So a sextile is an easy relationship where each party, in this case, the moon and Uranus, are sharing with one another in equal measure. So today might be a day for us to try new things, dabble a bit in maybe experimenting a little bit, stepping out of the usual and getting it more into the new and the different. Now, I'm not saying throw over your life and start something new, right? I'm not saying that. But if you usually turn right when you go to take a walk, turn left instead. Right? The environment today may be a little disruptive, but not in a bad way. It's like, you know, taking a boat ride with some choppy water and you're sort of hopping up and down, or when you're riding your bike and you're on a gravel sort of path and you get that little bumpy feeling. That's kind of what today is. It's a little bit like an agitation, but not in a bad way. You know, like if you put if you get a muscle massage, right, a neck massage or something, and that at first that squeezing kind of hurts and is irritating, but in the end it becomes something that's really good for you. That's the day, right? That's the experience with Uranus today. Some bumpiness that might not feel so bad, but just maybe gives you some, you know, pathways to doing things in new ways. The trine to Mercury is also a good day, right? That makes this a good day to express your feelings, to really get in touch with what you feel, but to be able to express those feelings ably, so that you're not blurping out there onto other people, blaming or guilt tripping or shaming someone else for your issues, right? Today's a day when we have our head and our heart in alignment, right? Mercury rules the head. And we could say that the moon here in Cancer rules our heart, our soul. So we connect the two today, head, heart aligned. And it might be a great day to sit back and, you know, objectively look at yourself and your life and see where you might reinvent, right? Reinvent or reimagine who you are. Clarity is highly possible today, with especially the human design sun at the gate 57, which is the most intuitive, instinctual gate in the design. and with Mercury in Scorpio, allowing us to go deeply into something. And it's almost like having antenna on top of your head that are open and receiving, and you actually are clear and channeling in whatever that information is. So that's all great, right? Then the little, you know, dig of the day happens to be the sun in the square to Libra, or the Libra sun in a square to the Cancer moon. It brings on the crisis of consciousness. So what I'm talking about is in our movement of the moon from new phase to the first quarter, which brings up our crisis of action. Like we set an intention with that new moon, we get to the crisis of action point, and it feels like there's something blocking our path. Maybe the things that we set out to do, we meet up with the first resistance out there, the first block, the first thing, the pebble in our shoe kind of thing that slows us down a bit. That's the first square after the new moon. Then we have the full moon, right? And then something's revealed or we complete with something. And then we go on to the next quarter moon, which is what's happening today. And that is called the crisis of consciousness point. Now we realize that we've removed whatever outer world resistance there might have been to what we set as an intention with the new moon. Now we're left to deal with what's going on within us that is in resistance to the intention that we set, to getting where we want to go, to doing what we want to do. And that resistance, when we look at that deeper, we see that the resistance coming up with this phase of the moon is lodged in our beliefs, in old patterns, right? Behaviors that we've always been this way. And so we believe we don't have any choice, that we always have to keep doing it this way. A fear, right? A limitation that we forgot we have the key sitting around our neck, right? And then if we reach in and get that key, we can go and set ourselves free. So the process of the sun squaring the moon, or the moon squaring the sun at this point, is for us to use those keys to unlock ourselves out of the boxes, out of the jail that we've put ourselves in. So rethink your situation today. Rethink about it. Take a deeper look at what beliefs might be causing you to stop. Is there something that you need to shift inwardly that will ease your path to getting further along the path to realizing your intention, right? And what it was that you wanted to manifest in your life. The next transit of the day is in opposition to Jupiter. And Jupiter's a benefic planet, no doubt. And the moon doesn't necessarily make it negative either. But what the moon and Jupiter do together when they're in an opposition is they tend to create some sort of positive turbulence. Can I get away with saying that? Positive turbulence, meaning that there's a little bit of the pot stirring that's going on, but it's because you need to get the temperature up in order to make the change. So for example, you put some vegetables on, maybe you put, you know, you want to steam them, but you've got to get the water boiling in order to get the steam rolling to cook the vegetables, right? That's kind of the feeling we have today. There may be, with Jupiter anyway, there could be this positive turbulence that, you know, is a necessary injection of your energy in order to elevate the process or to move the process along. So consequently, with that opposition, there's lots of potential in the day. The potential is that you could overdo things as well, but somehow you've got to get something rolling, right? Even if you just take baby steps, that's something, a step in the positive right direction. And then the moon is in a trine to Neptune today as well. So now you can see, like, well, there's this thing going on with all of these different, like, ragdolling us in these different directions. The trine to Neptune, however, even though typically with the moon or with any planet and Neptune, we get this blurriness or this sort of vagueness that goes on in our thinking processes, the moon and Neptune together are a very intuitive combo. So intuitive faculties, if you will, our spidey senses are heightened and our perceptions are heightened. So we may have access to more insight than usual. And that's a good thing if you are in the midst of trying to figure out what direction to go, what certain things mean in your life and that kind of thing. So we have access to some clarity even though it's with a planet that often makes things foggy and blurry. So I hope that makes sense for everybody. The biggest news of today, however, is Mars in the square to Pluto. We talked a lot about that over the last couple of days. I might add a couple of little blips. One, remember, Mars is in retrograde, meaning he's moving backwards. When planets move backwards, it can bring up things from the past, things that you thought were settled, things that you thought you were done with, can come back at you. So we may be returning to an old problem as well over these days. It was from October 2nd through October 17th. And so it might be a time where you're provocation. I love that word, provoked into finding new solutions to old problems, where it's possible that the outer world or a person in your world has provoked you, that is causing you to move. Maybe the discomfort, maybe it's more uncomfortable to stay where you are in the same situation with the same, you know, circumstances. So you choose to move. You choose to take a step forward. So the transit pulls to the surface anything that you have not yet cleared, anything that's been hidden, anything repressed, anything that's been oppressed. And that's for us as individuals, as Mars is an individual planet, but also us as a society, as a world, as a globe, because Pluto is a more transpersonal planet. So we have both the outer world circumstances shaking us up a bit, causing us to have to really look at those shadows, and our own inner world, our own personal lives, offering up the possibility to shake up and loosen those places within us that, you know, hide some key information that we need in order to move forward fearlessly, right? And it might be a fear that you have to let go of, that you have to be able to say, hi, I see you, I embrace you, I love you, but I'm moving forward anyway. Okay. Pleiadian Earth energy of the day today, six, feeling. Six is the number, of course, of flow. And that means that we may be presented with those obstacles, that sun and moon in a square with one another, bringing up that crisis of consciousness, is a roadblock in our way. It may not be physical, might be just so ethereal or, you know, something in your mind, but you use the same steps, right? You go around, you go under, you go over, you wait. Maybe it's time to just wait and see what happens. And then you go with that flow, whatever that flow is taking you to. And I have an interesting story to share with you about that as this morning dawned. Yesterday, I got an email from a woman who wanted to have a reading, but she couldn't work PayPal. Somehow it just wouldn't work. And it wouldn't let her just use her debit card. It wanted her to have a PayPal account and yada, yada. So sometimes, you know, PayPal gets persnickety. So I write back to her and I say, try these other things, right? I have Venmo, I have PayPal or Messenger Pay, I have, you could send me a check for goodness sake. All of those, there are different ways around it, right? We can flow over, under, etc. Well, she went back in and she tried and she tried and she couldn't do it. Her final email to me was, maybe this is a sign that the timing isn't right yet for this. And I'm like, hallelujah. Either you've been listening to my show and you've gotten this, or on some intuitive level, you're getting it. That if we're hitting up to the roadblock and we can't flow around or over or under easily, effortlessly, then maybe the most effortless thing to do is to just hold, wait, right? So perfect for her. And she did this quite unemotionally. At least I didn't sense emotion in the emails. And that's the other part of the day today, the feeling energy. In the Mayan calendar, this was Muluk. And Muluk was a symbol of water and how water flows and the power in water, the power for water to be held back by dams or rivers, to be contained, and then in a moment be uncontained as the dam breaks or the river rain falls and the rivers overflow their banks. And so the ability of emotion for us to be able to tap into that and use it as a barometer of what it is that we're meant to do. Where are we out of alignment? If we're feeling anger or upset or confusion, it might be that we're trying to push our way into something that the timing isn't right for. So the lesson today, and maybe even setting us up for the tone for the weekend, is really about, where are you pushing? and where are you allowing or where are you not allowing? And where are you needing to go with the flow in your life? That might be a better question. So that's just Friday's energy. I'm going to head back over here to Facebook, no, YouTube, and see what people are saying. Let's see. Amanda J, good morning to you. Pauline says, I got email this Sunday. Okay, that's Larkma Live. That's her usual Sunday message, right? Larkma. It's not a her, it's a group. But it is next Friday when Pia Orlean and Colin Baird Smith will be here live with me. And they're going to give us a message from Larkma or help us to understand more about where we are in the spiral of consciousness and teach us more about the Pleiadian Earth calendar. So I love that. So JLo says, woohoo, I need to go search. I would love to attend, see how it goes. If you subscribe to, if you go to Larkma, LARKMAA.com, you can get on the mailing list so that you'll be notified when they come live for that broadcast. And let's see, Leslie Zuber, good morning. Good, I'm so glad you got your reading yesterday because I never did see you out there, but I figured maybe you would hear it later. Joshua says, hey Joshua, hello, we haven't seen you in a week. PayPal's a jerk to me too. I don't get it. I don't get what's so difficult. In fact, today, one of the things on my to-do list, if I can get through the day, is to call PayPal and find out what in the bleep is going on there, because I don't get it. For years, I have used PayPal with no problem whatsoever. If someone didn't want to have a PayPal account, PayPal just said, okay, use your debit or your credit card. What's so hard about that? And now suddenly it seems like there's all kinds of problems with that. So I need to understand what's going on. Loving Light, hello there. And I'm looking to see if there are any questions that I've missed. For Deus, I remember you. I haven't seen you in a long time. I've been following the recordings at a later time. Ah, yes, because aren't you like in Europe or something? So it's probably pretty late for you. Jennifer Peachy, good morning. But it's really good to see you out there. Joshua, and I see you, Monique Alexander and Kimberly Eberhardt. Who else did I miss? I think I got everybody. If I missed you somehow, I didn't mean to miss you, and I wish you a good morning. Shall we go on to Saturday? Saturday. The moon will still be in Cancer on Saturday. It is the tricky day of, it's one of maybe the trickiest of the weekend days. I would say there are elements of today that can be tricky depending on how your own chart is set up. But Saturday, I think for a lot of us, is going to be a trickier day, as in the moon is in Cancer, but it jumps right into the void early in the morning, say about 9:04 my time. So that's not so early for those of you on the East Coast, about noonish for you all, and will be in that void until 5:24 p.m. my time, 8:24 p.m. for you all on the East Coast. So literally the entire day is in the void of course moon. The space, the wandering space between Cancer and Leo. So at 5:24 or 8:24, the moon will move out of Cancer into Leo, and that changes up the dynamic. But all of the transits for the day happen before the moon goes into the void. So that means that likely it's beginning maybe this evening and bridging over through the night and into the early day. So the day may dawn tomorrow with some pretty weird energies for you. So first of all, the moon in Cancer will be in a square to Mars in retrograde. That is a call for us to slow down. Don't be hasty. Don't make hasty decisions. Don't be reactive. Because it can end up in emotional blowouts, emotional blowups. Accept uncertainty. I just don't have certainty for you out there. I know those of you who have defined Ajnas think you have certainty right now, but the whole of the world is uncertain. So we just have to accept that we don't know where life is taking us at this moment. We don't know outcomes of elections. We don't know outcomes of these huge transits that have happened. We don't know, we can't even be certain about what comes next, right? We don't even know if this darn virus is going to disappear and go away. We'd like to say it is, but so we have to sort of accept uncertainty at this point in time. That square to Mars retrograde reminds us that just slowing down, not pushing, doing what's opened up for you instead of where you may think you want to go in that direction and you're pushing yourself in that direction, but that is counter to what Mars retrograde would be about. Mars retrograde would be about slowing down, taking a look at what has opened up for you and moving in that direction. If nothing's opened up for you, then it's time to stand still, to come to that gate 52 type of standstill, right? That yogic pose that is standing still mountain. And wait for what opens up, right? And so tomorrow we'll have to call in likely our powers of patience and steadiness so that we don't inadvertently jump the gun and find ourselves in a difficult or more uncertain situation. As well, after the Mars retrograde square, then the moon will come into an opposition to Pluto. Now the opposition to Pluto is also kind of underlining that need for us to be patient. Pluto is a planet pretty far out there, right? It's at the edges of our solar system. And its transit is slow. It doesn't move quickly. So it spends a lot of time transforming us wherever it is. It has been in Capricorn since about 2008 and has been responsible for a lot of deconstruction, a lot of exposure of the weaknesses in our society, in our systems, in our institutions. But it has also been doing subtle subtle destruction, if you will, in your own personal life. And then we come in with a moon opposition to Pluto, and now we may get emotionally charged up about what it is that we see is passing out of our reality. We may be upset that the things that we wanted to have opening up for us aren't opening up for us. So tomorrow is a real good day to practice resisting pushing, right? Resisting the need to push. If something comes easy, then it was meant to be. If it doesn't come easy, then likely there's something not quite right in the timing, or there's something not quite right in the people that have gathered yet. So resist pushing, because to do so may take you off of your timing. You may be off of your game, right? And we want game. And if you want game, be patient, right? Be patient, follow the signs, things that are opening up for you, and resist pushing into a direction that you think you want to go. Then the last aspect of the moon before she moves into the void is an opposition to Saturn. I thought we were done with these, but we're not. The moon moving into the void, last aspect, means that for the extended period of time that the moon is wandering around in the void, we're grappling with that last aspect. And the last aspect to Saturn may have us feeling a little hot and cold, right? You know, the moon is all about the emotions that we want to feel. We want to feel good. We want to be happy. We want to feel supported, loved, excited, whatever it is you want to feel. But Saturn acts like a little bit of a lid on that energy. And it might be that, you know, we feel really good one moment. And I've been experiencing this over the last few days, actually, where you may feel really good. And then all of a sudden you're not. And then you're thinking, at least me, I'm thinking to myself, well, what changed? Nothing changed. Just a feeling came over me, right? So our feelings are kind of doing the pendulum back and forth on Saturday. So we may feel a little hot and cold. So likely it would be a good day to hold on any commitments or making any commitments. It's possible that, you know, you're going to get a green light maybe Sunday, and tomorrow isn't the day, right? The signs are kind of showing us slow down with the moon in the void, with these difficult planets that are being affected by the moon. And then that last aspect being Saturn, it says maybe just adopting a wait and see attitude, maybe. You know, just I'm going to stand here and I'm going to observe. I'm not going to get drawn into the emotion. I'm not going to push away from the emotion either. I'm just going to be the observer, right? Be the, you know, who is it in you that's observing what's happening, right? And then who is it in you that wants to react to what is happening? And who who is it that controls that response? All things that make you go, right? So hold on your responses tomorrow or your reactions, and also don't push, be patient. It's a day for patience. Now, we do have some really good energy tomorrow as well. It's not like it's all doom and gloom or all difficult and stop sign energy, because there is potential for movement tomorrow, but you might have to be open, right? You can't be in a position of wanting to push things to happen, because you might miss something that's important. And that's because Venus in Virgo tomorrow comes to a trine with Uranus in Taurus. So we have fellow elements, right? The element of earth here, coming together in a way that supports us, that encourages innovation, encourages thinking outside of the box. It encourages us to take risks. So herein lies a bit of a conundrum, right? Where we have Venus and Uranus coming together saying, it's time to take a little bit of a risk, but I've just got done telling you not to push things, right? So the trick is to, again, be very perceptive about what is opening up. And if what is opening up is completely different from what you thought it would be, it doesn't make it wrong. It says, okay, maybe you need to take a little bit of a risk to move in that new direction. So it's a time, it's a transit that brings up our more experimental, experiential parts of ourselves, where we can explore through being open-minded to what is opening up for us. And maybe, wanting something new and different is more supportive than trying to push yourself in the way that you think you should go, right? So remember, the emotional field though is still a little volatile tomorrow with all of that Mars retrograde square, the Pluto opposition, the Saturn opposition, the void of course moon. So still, you wanna take good care about what it is that you're doing. Stay in your body, stay open, and follow what your intuition and instinct is telling you to do. Tomorrow's Pleiadian Earth energy is 7 devoting. 7 takes us to the halfway point in our cycle that began with 1 planting. And 1 planting was an energy where something new was set in the ground, something new was planted for all of us, not just those people who have 1 planting as their natal Pleiadian sign. 1 planting energy was the overriding, the overlighting energy. I call it the umbrella energy for the 13-day period of time. So now we're at the halfway point as we get into Saturday. What are you seeing? Right? Are the little shoots coming up from under the ground, maybe? Are you starting to see the fruits of your labor? Now's a time for nurturing, right? To keep nurturing, being devoted to, being loyal to, not someone outside of you, not to anybody or anything outside of you, but loyalty to yourself, to your own goals, to your own dreams, to your own ambitions. What did you plant back 7 days ago? And being loyal and nurturing toward that, right? So that we sort of stand at a portal when we get to the 7. It's the energy of merging, where we're taking the best of the potential that we planted and we're merging it with the new direction that we're moving in, completing, getting ready to complete this particular cycle or spiral of consciousness. So take stock. What things are you loyal to that are inappropriate? What people are you loyal to that are inappropriate, and make some changes? Debbie, I love you. I'm going to take a look at it later. Okay, if I get into it now, it'll be not so good for me. Asa, question. J-Lo is asking, with the transiting moon squaring her Chiron, should she assume a big lesson shall be here today? How about a big healing, J-Lo? Right? A healing of a situation, perhaps, that's dogged you for a while. Maybe a revelation of sorts. Maybe the pathway opening up and unblocking where you've been blocked. Certainly, it could require you to move through some more lessons and some more pain. But on the other hand, the whole idea of Chiron is about healing. It's the healing path. So your Chiron in Aries asking you to become more interdependent, to be more self-sufficient, self-loving. So if any lessons come up, it would be where you're out of sync with that independence or interdependence, where you're out of sync with being bold, where you're holding too much of yourself back. And so for you, maybe the lesson is to take a bit of a risk, right? To be bolder than usual. Although I certainly don't see you as not bold, but I do maybe sense a little bit that you question your self-worth or your worthiness to proceed that in that direction, to have that healing affected for you. So not a bad thing at all. Maybe a little bit of a trigger. But again, because we can stand back emotionally, we're learning this, right? The whole idea of the solar plexus mutation that is upon us, moving toward, is for us to learn how to bring the emotional energy into neutral instead of reactivity. So maybe practice that this weekend. If something triggers you, instead of responding in the same old way with an emotion, perhaps, or with a stubborn digging in of your heels, step back and go, now, what would be the more enlightened way to respond to this situation? To respond, right? Not to react, but to respond. It's pretty fun if you start to take your life in that kind of command of your life in that way. All right. So let's take a look at Sunday. So late Saturday evening, the moon will have transited into Leo. Again, changing up the energy from the more homey, gotta be, near family, to Leo's more self-expressive energy. Now remember, Leo energy rules the fifth house in the astrology chart, the natural astrology chart. So that means there's more ability here for us to want to tap into love and romance, to want to tap into play or games or just the lighter side, the joy in life, right? So while the moon is in Leo, the first things that happen is she comes into a square with Uranus in Taurus, and then a square to Mercury in Scorpio. So we have maybe some difficulty on Sunday trying to connect to those things that are Leo in nature. I called this day, oh, the drama, because these can be drama things that happen, right? We act dramatically. We react dramatically to things that are occurring. So with the moon in Leo squaring Uranus and Taurus, we have to agree to disagree. There is no way you're going to win a cat fight. There are no winners this weekend in those kinds of disagreements. There's disarray, right? There's not clear thinking. There's that Leo trend to the drama. And then there's the moon's emotions, and you bring the two together and with a square to a planet like Uranus, and there can be explosions, right? So cat fights, not a good thing, or dog fights, people fights, don't get into a fight, right? If you can't say something nice, don't say it at all. And if you disagree with someone, if something somebody says or does triggers you, hold your tongue, hold your own counsel. This too shall pass. A little bit later in the day, the moon will come into a square with Scorpio's Mercury placement. Don't believe everything you hear. Don't believe everything you think. Don't believe everything you see. Your own thoughts even are not clear, right? They're in the deep. They're introspective. So there's an impracticality to what we might be thinking or what we might be sensing out there. We might even be misleading. Either we're misleading ourselves or others, or we're being possibly misled by the information that's out there, that by the thoughts that we're thinking, by the things that are coming up in the field. So it definitely isn't a day, especially on Sunday, to make big decisions, because there's not any real clear directional signal coming out of the transits for the day. The drama can take you in and push you in a direction that really wasn't sustainable or wasn't good for you. Now, on top of that, the sun is also in a difficult position with Jupiter on Sunday, a square, right? A challenging position. So here where we have a tendency to overblow, overdo, overreach, overcommit. So it is a day for simplifying your life, right? Don't over embellish, right? Just remember, if somebody's asking you to commit to something, be very circumspect, be very aware of what your limits are, as well as what your strengths are. And if I have to say this, I think this is a day where you really look to your human design and your strategy based on your type and your authority that will help guide you into making the best decisions, when to hold them, when to fold them, when to go, right? So then we have Neptune and the sun in an inconjunct to one another. An inconjunct is a relationship where they just don't see eye to eye, right? The sun has his light based in the physical dimension. Neptune has its light faced into the spiritual dimension. They seem to be at odds with one another. What seems practical and down to earth from the sun's point of view is not magical enough for what Neptune is wanting from the day. So it can bring out the drama of the moon's placement in Leo on Sunday. So the light dazzles, and or does it baffle us with bullshit, right? So we may just not be seeing things clear enough to make a decision to move forward with anything. So I think this would be a great weekend to just hold them, not fold them, but hold them, right? Hold, unless you have some very clear signs about what direction to move in. All right, questions, Asa, anybody out there have questions? Yes, indeed. I just passed it. Okay, Asa, I totally lost you here. Got to go find you again. There we go. Leslie is asking, does an open ajna make you more psychic? No. In a word, no. And I've been thinking a lot about this. As you guys know, I decided to finish my certification through human design. So I've been going back over all the lessons I've already learned, because at the time I learned them, there wasn't a certification. And now I want the certification. And in order to do that, I have to go back through all of this stuff. Well, it's been fantastic. As there are things, you know, the first time that you learn something, it's like the first time you hear about your human design and you remember it all in the moment. And then as time goes on, you forget some of the details. Well, I'd forgotten some of the details. So what's been really niggling at me is this concept right now of defined centers versus open centers. Now, we know in human design, an open center is where we are taking in energy. An open center, open gate, open channel. So it works in any of those, but let's talk about centers at the moment. So you're taking in that energy and you're amplifying it and rebroadcasting it, but it's coming from the conditioning field. So it might not even be your own natural, it isn't your own energy. If it's coming in through an open center, it isn't your own energy. So you have to be wise. You have to learn wisdom about when to express that energy and when it's not the correct timing to express that energy. That's a lifelong process. Now, what I've been thinking about is those defined centers, because the defined centers are places where we are broadcasting energy, right? So it's our authentic energy, to be sure. And you're broadcasting that energy in a defined way. So do those defined centers contribute to our getting stuck, right? That where we can't, like, we can get blinders on and we just keep doing and doing and doing because we're broadcasting this authentic energy, but we've forgotten that we have these open centers that allow us to see things from different vantage points. And what made me begin to think about that is I'm doing a reading very soon for a woman that has 8 of the centers defined and only one of them open. So I was really thinking about, now, what does that do to her in her life, right? So this is someone I believe, and I'm sure it's going to bear out as I chat with her, who gets stuck very easily, right? Who can get caught up in the drama or get caught up in a relationship funk and get caught up trying to keep doing things and doing things and doing things because it's broadcasted naturally from her, but then gets stuck because the one center that's open is kind of not quite able to be included into that energy. What's the word I'm trying to think? It's anyway, it's blinding her, right? It's blinding her. She's really leaned into, perhaps, now I haven't done the reading yet, so I don't know, but it perhaps has blinded her into believing she's something she's not. And she's taking the full force of all of those defined centers and trying to push them through that one open center, which happens to be the ego, heart, or will center, which is a very difficult center first, because it leads to burnout, right? Where you're pushing, 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 and then you get sick, or you just can't do it, or you get depressed, or you get anxious, anxiety, etc. Now, to your question, Leslie, the energy of the Ajna is about certainty. It is about the mind and how the mind works. So a person with a defined Ajna has a very definite way of thinking and of beliefs. So they can be whatever it is they believe wholeheartedly. So you can see this with, you know, religious fervor, right? If somebody has a defined Ajna and they are a part of a belief system, they are all in, and they just can't see outside that there are other possibilities around that belief system. And so the defined Ajna does give you access to certainty. It gives you an access to the way that you think in a predictable pattern, that you have a truth, your truth, not necessarily the truth, but a truth that you are in resonance with. And that is authentically yours. But it does not give you access to intuitive energy. That comes through the spleen. The spleen center is the center for psychic energy or intuition and instinct. Now, that person who has a defined Ajna still has a spleen. So it doesn't mean that they can't be psychic or that they can't be intuitive, because they are. We all are. But they may, if they have an open spleen, they may have more difficulty pinpointing when they're getting psychic information versus when their mind is telling them information. If they have a defined spleen, then likely that psychic impression or their intuition or instinct comes in a defined way. So you can expect that if you're clairaudient and you have a defined spleen, likely everything that comes in for you is coming through hearing, coming through clairaudience. If you have an open spleen, you can never be sure where your intuitive or psychic energy is coming from, right? That's what's happened to me in my life many times, is that I've had dreams and they've come true. I've had direct inner connection with an angel, and I've never been able to have that again. I've had a clear vision where I've just gone into a spontaneous vision of something. I've had all of these different experiences, and they're not predictable as to when they're going to come true. So consequently, when I have dreams and I think, oh, this is going to happen, it doesn't, right? It doesn't always happen that way, because my open spleen is inconsistent intuitive energy. Now, if I had a defined spleen and it was defined through the gate 57, perhaps, I might always be able to trust clairaudience, because that particular gate is connected to the hearing audience, hearing, right? I hope that answers your question. It's kind of a long way around. So no, in fact, a defined Ajna can contribute to your not being very intuitive, because your mind may overwrite what your intuition is telling you. So that can be a difficult conundrum in a chart. Let's say if you had a defined Ajna with an open spleen and yet gate 57 defined on it, or right now, because this week we all have the gate 57 defined, your mind may not pay attention to what your intuition or your instinct is telling you. So sometimes those defined centers can cause you to get caught up and rigid in your approach to the world, which serves you well, but sometimes can also trip you up. So like sometimes where your strengths can become an actual weakness. So hopefully that helps. Any other questions about that? See, Asa, I'm going to go back and see. Okay. So there was more to the Leslie question. She finds that she can think a sentence or thought, and a day later, a person will say the same thing she was thinking. Question. So that's not through your ajna then, Leslie. That's likely coming through maybe your open, do you have an open head? It can be coming through the spleen. It can be if you have gate 12, right? You're sensing something that channeling information in. So it really kind of depends on how your chart is set up. Pauline's question, will you be live Monday, Columbus Day? Yes. Yes, I didn't even realize it was Columbus Day, but sure enough, there's a red day. I know no one that I know takes that day off. Maybe schools do. I don't know, but I will be here. So no worries. All right. Now, any other questions? Anything? Is it Native American Day? Ah, I like that better than Columbus Day. Okay. So if you don't have any other questions, now that all of you are here, in the very beginning this morning, I said that we have reached 537 subscribers, and I had told everybody at 500 we would do something special. Well, Asa and I have had some, you know, inability to connect over the last week, so we hadn't really been able to think about that yet. But yesterday, we finally decided what it is that we're going to do for you all. Now, for those of you who are in the membership, you're used to a monthly forum call where you bring your questions about your human design, about your gene keys, about your astrology chart to forum to get your questions answered. So those of you who do not belong in the membership, it's sort of hit and miss whether I get to do that for you in the morning. So on the, oh my God, what day was it, Asa? The 20th, next to, not this coming Tuesday, but a week from Tuesday. We are setting up a time at noon for you to come into a Zoom meeting with me and ask your questions about your chart. Like those deepest questions, the ones that really confound you or that you're really curious about. It might be about a transit that's going on for you. It might be about a repeating pattern you see in your life. It might be about your curiosity about a certain planet. It might be a curiosity about your human design and what are you, you know, what is your conundrum, if you will. It could be about gene keys in general, like what is the sort of individuality in the gene keys or your activation sequence, those kinds of things. So everyone is welcome to that on Tuesday, the 20th at 12 noon. And I plan to stay there for an hour and get through as many charts and questions as I can. But of course, I know that if someone is there still waiting for an answer, I'm not going to just disconnect on you, but plan, you know, for an hour. And yes, Pauline, to answer your question, forum is on the third Friday of the month in the membership. So that would be this next Friday, the 16th. So the membership people get that anyway. So even the membership people, now you can get a twofer. You can get your questions answered on the 16th and on the 20th. But all of you who are not normally able to get that done are going to be able to do that in celebration of our having reached that halfway point and now even a little over that, so that we can celebrate that. And the best way I could think of doing that is to give you the opportunity to ask your questions and get them answered. And Asa will be there to help keep me organized so I don't miss somebody. And we will do that through Zoom, right? It won't be live. So it's not going to be a live broadcast, but we'll all be able to see each other, or you don't have to have your camera on either, but we can see one another and interact with one another if you so choose. And I love doing that. So time on Friday, the 3rd or the 16th, the third Friday, it's always at noon, right? That's the one time that I can sort of make sure most time zones can attend. The only people that really have a problem are those in Australia, but most of the US can do that. And thank you very much, Ursula, that I don't feel like it's that, you know, 12 noon Pacific time. It's not that I just feel like I want to give back. And I got the idea because a couple of people have really told me how much they enjoy forum. And why not do that in a bigger way? Now, I don't want to commit to being able to do that in a more frequent sort of way. But certainly we could do that in celebration, and then maybe we'll do something again like that when we hit thousands, 1,000, which is the mark that I'm trying to get to. And it's just a number, right? Ursula, everyone, consider joining the membership. It's a way to go deeper. It is indeed. The membership is fun. It's a lot of work on my part, and I love being able to share things in a more focused way for the people that are a part of that. And so Christine, thank you. Janet, how would we find this? I will post the link for the Zoom call on the Facebook page. I will also post it on my website, and most likely we'll share it here over the next several days as well in the chat. So look for that starting on Monday. I will probably also send out an email. So if you're on the mailing list, you'll get an email with that information in it. It's really simple. It's just a Zoom link. You click the link and voila, you're with us. And we can all look at each other's charts and see one another and interact with one another. So yes, several of you already pulling this up saying please, if you've liked the video, hit the thumbs up button, share the videos with your friends and ask them to subscribe. Let's see, we can just build some momentum here and get this channel busted out and get at least 1,000 people. What else is going on here? Ursula, thank you. You've been the best kept secret to major astro divinity downloads. And there's a reason for that in my human design chart. I get that. But in a business sense, that doesn't always serve me. So anyway, it's okay though. I learned how to work with it. Any other questions before I go? How about if I pull us a card for the weekend? Somebody quick, write what deck of cards I should draw from right now. And happy birthday to Asa, Christine says. Happy birthday. Maybe we'll draw Asa. So we're going to do this. We're going to draw two cards, one for the collective for the weekend and one for Asa for the year ahead. And Asa, I keep eyeing the dragons for you for a card. And let's see, somebody shout out a deck that they want me to use for the collective. While I pull Asa, a dragon. I think a dragon would be good for you. We did her solar return yesterday. She's got a good year going. She's got a good year. And, oh, wow, that one dropped out. So here we go. Okay. You have a water dragon. Helps you flow easily around obstacles. Christ's light and love are flowing. Develop your psychic abilities. Go with the flow. Hold on, I got to switch over here to, there we go. So Asa, here is your card for your birthday. So this is your birth year card, let's say, the water dragon. And let's see what that means. Water dragon. Water emotion. Let's see, 24. Okay. Should have turned that light on. I can't see. It's dark in here. Fourth dimensional water dragons are a soft green color and very beautiful. They undulate with the flow around them and help everything to move forward with grace and tranquility. Their service work is to maintain the constant movement of Christ's light in the waters of our planet. They also help us develop our psychic abilities and intuition. The guidance. The message the elemental water dragons are bringing you is to flow round your challenges with loving intent. If you ask them, they will help you look for an easy way to circumnavigate your challenges and to deal with people lovingly. To enable this to happen, they will help you to develop your intuition and psychic abilities by touching your third eye and allowing the petals of this psychic center to open. When you listen to your inner wisdom and trust that the water dragons will guide you, the course of your life will run more smoothly. Ask them to cleanse the cells of your body, for this will enable you to shine your light even more brightly. Then your guidance is to relax so that they can access your energy fields and pour the golden Christ light of pure unconditional love into them. Consciously absorb the golden Christ light and flow with it. This will bring you love, wisdom, and healing, and enable you to travel effortlessly on your ascension path. It will also allow you to direct and help others with calm and integrity. Wow. So perfect for you, Asa. So perfect for you for your upcoming year. Okay. Anybody tell me what they want? A dog pack. Okay. Let's do dog pack. I like having a dog on Fridays to help us. They always seem to be so profound. Thank you, Leslie, for having brought this deck to life. And dogs, it is. And what we get is Irish Setter. And the Irish Setter is about love. Let me bring that up so you guys can see it. Look at that face. Such a cute little dog. Irish Setter is about love. So let's see here. What is the message? I mean, love is a big message, isn't it? You are faced with an important decision right now regarding love. It is bringing up fears around commitment, intimacy, and rejection. It may even be causing conflict. Remember that love does not hurt and is not painful. It is our own inadequacies that manifest in our close relationships, giving us the opportunity to look at ourselves honestly. Only in these love relationships do we have the opportunity to transcend our misperceptions of who we are. The universe works through mirroring to show us ourselves. We talked about this week. It's pretty interesting that this card comes up. It takes courage to look at our shadow self, so be open and unafraid. Once you do, you'll be amazed at the love you feel for yourself and therefore your partner. Love has the energy of giving and receiving from the heart, thinking of the other and becoming one. This is your opportunity to really look at yourself through the eyes of love and with your partner. And the Irish Setter advice, you had me at hello. That's a great one. Thank you, Leslie. Thank you for Christine for suggesting the dog pack. Irish Setter is our love card, let's say, for the weekend ahead. All right, everybody. Well, thank you so much for joining me this morning. It was great to be with you. And I appreciate your love and your support and your paying attention to the work that I do. And I look forward to seeing you on Monday.